Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast for Friday, February 24th, 2017. I'm Bruce Mitchell, Senior Torch Columnist. I'll be joined momentarily by co-host of the Friday Livecast, Rich Fan, and we'll talk about everything wrestling-related. I do want to say this weekend that for VIP members, Wade Keller and I have already done an hour. If you're listening to this live, by the way, it's 515-605-9345. If you are listening to this live, you're invited to call at 515-605-9345. Wade Keller, I've already done an hour of the Bruce Mitchell audio show that should be up at some point soon. And scheduled for this weekend, have a very special show. And I'll be joined by an old friend of mine, Casey O'Connor, and you may not know that name, and we'll be discussing another name you may not know who just passed away this week, Bruiser Bedlam, and Johnny Canine, who we spent a week with during his – Casey spent more time than a week, but I spent a week with him when he premiered in Smoky Mountain Wrestling over 20 years ago, traveling through Tennessee, Kentucky, a little bit of Carolina, and that what that experience was like. Johnny Canine was not only a professional wrestler. More to the point, he was also a criminal, who was members of several motorcycle gangs, involved in some very bad situations, and what it was like to hang out with him. And what we got to know about Bruiser during that time, and kind of what we know now about him. And also, Casey O'Connor lived in the house that Chris Jericho wrote about in Johnson City, Tennessee, in one of his autobiographies. I believe it was his first one. That a lot of the wrestlers who came through Smoky Mountain Wrestling on their way to WCW, on their way to WWE, lived in. And so we'll talk about some of Casey's thoughts about that. Very astute, very smart observer of the wrestling business to this day. And his time in Smoky Mountain Wrestling was controversial, to say the least, and that was the end of his time in professional wrestling. He, to his great credit, I always thought he moved on in life after that time, but he had his adventures, and we'll talk about Bruiser Bedlam, we'll talk about Smoky Mountain Wrestling, we'll talk about professional wrestling. But this is a show I think is going to be really interesting, like really interesting. So it's time to talk. You know, it's time we talked about Bruiser since he passed away this week. So look forward to that. Don't forget to listen to livecast, pwtorchlivecast.com, that you can listen to Wade Keller and Burning the Disco Inferno. Burn That Mother Down. Disco Inferno was on with Wade. Very much an interesting observer of professional wrestling, a long, successful career in it. And Wade was talking to me about, I haven't had a chance to listen to the show, but was talking about how well it went. And, of course, I've spent my time hearing of Disco Inferno, you know, social media, his opinions, and then through Mark Madden. So I think that's something well worth listening to, too. Let's take this opportunity to join Rich Fan. Rich, how you doing? Oh, I know why you're not there. Hit the wrong button. Stop yelling at me, Rich. All right, let's try that button.
Oh, see,
Rich Fan, welcome to the PW Torch Livecast.
Oh, thanks, Bruce. Yeah, I'm currently watching Clash 19 and wondering why Joe and Dean Malenko are going up against Ricky Steamboat and Nikita Koloff.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Boy, that's a match made in heaven. That's a tag team made in heaven. Holy
yeah,
smokes. I completely forgot
I'm
about
confused.
That.
I'm
yeah,
very
you should
confused.
Be. I think,
My
I
favorite
think your confusion
though of this
would end if you stop watching.
Event, though.
Yes, what is the main event?
The main event is, if I remember correctly, it's Doc and Gordy versus the Steiner Brothers.
Ah, that's where things got interesting. Although Bill Watts doing the NWA, and was it the NWA Tag Team Tournament or WCW? You didn't get, if you were watching then and you weren't watching All Japan Pro Wrestling, you probably liked a lot of that. If you're watching All Japan Pro Wrestling, those matches weren't what they, those matches in the United States weren't what they could have been, because Gordy and Williams were just working, you know, in the United States on their off time. You know, for WCW, as strange as that seems, their bread and butter, they were going to put out more in All Japan than they were on WCW. And it as a, you know, someone watching back then, is what I thought. But I haven't watched that stuff in a while. How the Bill Watts era, and speaking of some things in the past, the Bill Watts era in WCW, how does that come across? How does that clash come across?
Pretty good. One of the advantages of having it in the collection section now of the network, I have them set to favorites, so whenever I'm on the treadmill or I just have some idle time, I can watch parts of them, and I've just been working my way through the last couple of months. And it's fun. I really like these because, I didn't have cable, so Clash of the Champions, each one is interesting to me in their own way as far as the moment in time they were for either Crockett Promotions or WCW later on. So it's pretty neat.
I have an ulterior motive for saying this, but you're into the Clash of the Champions. Listen to Conrad Thompson and Tony Schiavone, who's returned to professional wrestling, at least talking about the old days. Remember when the podcast they did this week on, was it this week? Yeah, I guess it was. Came out Monday on the first Clash of the Champions and how all that worked out. So, like I said, I have an ulterior motive for saying that. But
what happened when? Good. I'm a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of Tony Schiavone. I know a lot of people give him, sound like an old man now, but I give him guff for greatest moments in the history of our sport. But, you know, I thought he did a good job, and especially because I didn't have cable, my friend would tape Nitro, then the 2 hours of Raw, and then the second hour Nitro, and eventually the third hour Nitro. So I had every week between Tuesday and Thursday, like an intravenous injection of both companies, and I always thought he was good.
I thought Tony Schiavone was good. I thought it was really unfortunate that, you know, the end of WCW and him being the face of that really colored how people looked at him. And it's how life is, you know. But his years in the 80s and his years, he really was, you know, he was good. I mean, and he was a very good, strong voice for Jim Crockett Promotions during that 1980s heyday of Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair. And he was a wrestling fan from way back. He was authentic. He's one of the better announcers, and I've enjoyed this one. So I've enjoyed this podcast. But this one, like I said, listen to that one. But it's good for him to find out that, like, he's not exactly hated. And I think maybe he had that feeling. And I always understood once you got out of wrestling and he's continuing his broadcast career in sports broadcasting with the Atlanta Braves and their affiliates and the University of Georgia. In fact, I looked up Saturday watching Kentucky, University of Georgia, and poor Georgia having Kentucky in the palm of their hand and then letting them go in college basketball. I looked up and there was Tony Schiavone sitting courtside, so for University of Georgia. But I think he's now underrated. I don't think he's at the very top echelon of that. The top three that I ever saw of Lance Russell, Jim Ross, and Gordon Solie, but he's right in that next crew, and I'm glad to kind of see him come out, and I know he's got some things to talk about. So he lived through a lot of, he was there for a lot of stuff in the wrestling history. Anyway, enough of that part. Like I said, I have an ulterior motive for plugging that. What's the deal with that GIF you publicized? I mean, Twitter, I'm, if you not follow me on Twitter, at Mitchell, PW Torch, and Rich, go ahead and give your Twitter account because I forgot it. But
it's at r.deuce. Well, I'm the second. My dad never liked the idea of Junior, and I always wanted to do Rich Fan, but there's a truck driver in Missouri who beat me to it, So I'm kind of like a man without a country until I figure something out with my name. So it's at @DRDOTDEUCE. And I picked it because one, Black History Month, and with the WWE inducting Teddy Long, that was one reason. Two, Doom, I'm a big fan of Ron Simmons and Butch Reed. And three, I figured with your Carolina connection, having the Horsemen versus Doom was a good choice.
Yeah, I thought, you know what I liked about it? It was so subtle.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the subtleness of representing the show, where you had Butch Reed just knocking the crap out of Ric Flair. Yeah, there was something about that I thought, there was some kind of message you were sending me that I just thought, okay.
Well, I mean, I could have superimposed a picture of an orange or something silly like that, but I figured I'd let the picture speak for itself.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's fine. Yeah, an orange, yeah, that's good, the referee. So, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with phone calls right after this.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Let's start the show with Dan from Missouri. Dan, welcome to the PW Torch Livecast.
Well, thanks, Bruce. I've got a lot on my mind this week, so I'm sure you can cut me off at your leisure.
Don't worry.
I am driving through. Oh, I know you will. That's all good. Driving through Missouri, Rich, so I can try to find that truck driver for you if you want.
I'll say let's do it offline so that way it's not admissible.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll try to get the GPS out and figure some things out. On a side note, Bruce, I really love watching J.J. Frazier. So, like, it's one of my favorite things in college basketball, so I watch a lot of Georgia games, and it always makes me smile that you see Tony Schiavone all the time on there, and it just, I don't know, it brings back good memories, and I kind of blacked out the last few years at WCW. I figure that's not really his fault, because when I was getting into wrestling, that was one of my favorite things, was the when I could get a chance to watch the TBS show, and I thought he was very good at it. So
I agree, yeah. And I agree on the blacking out of the last two or three years of, watched a lot of wrestling, but like, yeah, those last couple of years of WCW, someone will go, what about blah blah, and I'm like, I don't remember that at all. And I think it's, the same reason why hostages don't remember their entire stay. So, yeah. Rich? No, Rich,
yes.
Rich, you're here. I'm wondering whether, we'll hold for a second for Dan. As he said, he's traveling. But, yeah, it is good to see Schiavone kind of back in some of that mainstream. So we're going to take another call. We'll look for Dan coming back in a little bit. Another friend of the show, Kylan from New Jersey. Kylan, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Thank you, Bruce. How are you and Rich doing this week?
Pretty good, Kylan. Thanks for asking.
You're very welcome, Rich. My first question for this week concerns NXT.
Okay.
And if you guys will excuse me, this is a spoiler, so...
Oh, no.
What?
Well, I would say, like, for those of you who are listening on a delay, give yourself probably, like, 5 minutes, and then if you're listening live, just go na-na-na-na-na for about, 2 minutes.
Go ahead.
Fair warning. With Cassius Ohno losing a future NXT World Championship match. Does that mean that Cassius Ohno will be among the next round of main roster call-ups, in your opinion?
I have no insight into that, but it just seems to – I don't believe that they would have – I mean, he's a great wrestler. He's experienced. He's been in NXT before. But I also think that – I also just assumed that he was going to be in NXT for a while, that they need to buttress the talent in NXT for that brand and for Triple H. And I would be very surprised if he came quickly to the WWE main roster. Because, I mean, he'd already learned whatever hard camera stuff he needed to learn from NXT. He's very good. If they wanted him in the main roster, they would have just put him there. As I said, I have no, you know, I have no, like, insight into that, but just it just seems that that's how everything lays. Rich, what do you think?
I think, despite what may have happened during the tapings, I think they need him till at least the summer, because I'm assuming, like you said, they're going to be moving some other people up that had been in the advanced classes, so he would be a good buttress to continue to challenge for the title and or win it at some point before they, you know, start shipping people up. So I'd be more inclined to think, you know, if I was going over-under, I'd say by October, he's still in NXT.
Yeah, I agree. So, Kyle, what else do you have?
And my second question, who do you hope to see gain a bigger role on the WWE or TNA roster this year?
Do you have some candidates? Oh, or well, I'll say this as far as TNA goes. I want to see Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee do some of the things I watched them do in Gibsonville. I'll be in Gibsonville tomorrow night for another CWF show. I hope to see some folks there. And Trevor Lee is defending the Mid-Atlantic title on that show, and then they're building up to a big two-night tag team tournament coming in March. But Trevor Lee, that would be my answer. Rich, who would you say?
I would say, to be honest with TNA, I don't watch that much anymore. I kind of tune in and out with the Hardys, and then everything else I can kind of leave by the wayside. Just for his sake, I hope Cody Rhodes, because to see him on multiple independent markets would be very good for him and his continued growth away from the WWE.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, I mean, but I think he's – I don't think he needs TNA. I mean, I think it's fine, but I think he's – you know, I think he's doing well, and he's getting those dates, and he's you know, he's centering himself now around New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, but yeah, that would I'd like, yeah, where he goes and what he does is going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting, and he's not going to be featured at the top of New Japan. I mean, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be somewhere in the middle with that stuff. So, that's not so unusual. Anyway, let's move to our friend Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
How you doing today, Bruce? And how you doing today, Rich?
Good, D-Real. Always good.
Okay, no problem. Good here. Down here in the Red Clay State. Everything is nice. I wanted to ask you guys today, going back to Raw, don't know you guys' opinion about it. About the whole Bayley and Sasha and Stephanie segment. I know some people feel like they like what Bayley did and stuff like that. But me, on the other hand, I was kind of, you know, I think Bayley is like could have been like an old school white meat baby face, and she the baby face that kids look up to be and who adults respect because of in ring prowess. But not giving back the title after being shown that it wasn't, she didn't really win it on her own. I thought that was a slight on her character. What did you guys think?
Rich, I'm going to throw it to you, but I have to say that Wade Keller and I talked about this at length on the first hour of the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show for VIP members. And also, there was someone giving me a hard time about this on Twitter. I had to go back and forth with them. Twitter's horrible. These people that tweet at you and go back and forth, and then they call up. I mean, it's tough. But Ralph, because you and I kind of went back and forth about this issue on Twitter. But Rich, go ahead.
Okay, I'm very conflicted about this because I get what I listen to Wade and Jason on the midweek flagship, even though it should only be one flagship, but, you know, Nina Penison and Maria, yada, yada.
Let me point out the longest-running podcast, not only in wrestling, but anywhere, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. That's what Wade Keller claims. I think it might be true. So that's going to be my new thing to run into the ground. And this is the flagship of the livecast. There's something unique about Fridays that the rest of those shows don't have, or do have, I guess I should say.
The only thing missing, to be honest, is if we started at 7:05 instead of 7.
Yeah.
But to Bailey's point, I think in Vince McMahon's mind, a face can never be pure. And so a lot of things that make Bailey Bailey will fall by the wayside with his onus on her. And we saw this back with Survivor Series, where the Raw ladies jumped the SmackDown ladies, and she was leading the pack. If anything, that could have been a good directorial point to have her hem and haw and maybe stay at the ringside seat and only get goaded into it by the rest of the ladies into continuing the beatdown. But no, she was right in there wrecking women and representing the red brand. And then on Monday, you have Stephanie give up. Wade mentioned the idea of a good forensics lesson, but I think it was a little too good because I always took a heel as a person that could tell you a little bit of the truth but have a little bit of a lie in there where you could say, okay, this person's full of crap. Stephanie gave you enough of the truth that you forgot the fact that Dana Brooke interfered first.
Yeah, that's true.
And that changed the whole complexion. Like, from the point that they allowed her to make that argument without Bailey or Sasha bringing up the counter of Dana Brooke, you gave the moral high ground to Stephanie and then gave the moral high ground permanently away from Bailey because she, you know, she's like, yeah, I'm keeping this belt and you're not taking it from me and, you know, I'm just going to do what I got to do to win. And that's it makes me feel queasy. I get what they were doing, but it's still just I didn't agree with it. And the longer I go past Monday, the more it makes less sense, especially given the same thing happened on Tuesday with Naomi.
Yeah, that, we didn't talk about that part. That's true. I mean, I didn't even think about that part. But as far as Naomi giving up the title, but Naomi had to give up the title because she was injured or whatever this is. And like I said, Wade and I talked at length about this. I was more, and Darrell will tell you, I was more positive about this for a couple of reasons. One of them is, I think that Bailey was really good. I mean, as far as how she acted, how she talked, very genuine, very babyface like. The part that I didn't like was the little swerve part of Stephanie McMahon seeming like she's talking Bailey into giving up the belt and making a good case for it, and then just for the pop and just for Bailey to turn the positive side of her character on and go, no, I'm keeping this title. And everybody goes, yeah. That worked against some of that logic. But there's some plot point. I'll put it like this. I very much think, and I talked about this with Wade, of what they are, but I think there's some plot points to come in this program going to WrestleMania that if you started talking too much about Sasha Banks, like they didn't give Bailey a chance to say anything one way or the other between everybody coming in. So, you know, if you talk too much about Sasha Banks helping her win that title, I think it gives away the game in certain of what's to come. So that didn't bother me as much. I don't think this, even with what you're talking about, it even if that all is 100% through, and it's valid. There's a validity to that. I don't think it ruins Bailey's character. I think she's still, you know, too many times of jumping in and beating up what happened during the Raw versus SmackDown deal, her working as character then, this kind of corruption of her character, too many times, and they'll do permanent damage. But I think this was, I think just how she came across, how Charlotte came across, how Sasha Banks came across, and Stephanie, this still was a plus for Bailey. That's how I talk. And if you want to hear me, you want to hear Wade take more of Darrell's side and more of Rich's side. As I said, the VIP audio this weekend, we definitely looked at almost all the points of this. Darrell?
Oh.
I apologize, Darrell. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. My whole thing is with that, and with the Sasha part also is a whole other thing, is that I know people feel like then Bailey was being duped, being to make look stupid. But they do that with baby faces, even heels all the time. Just the other day, the night after, Miz go back and eliminate a person and throw him out of the ring. And he has to lead the match in John Cena, who gets eliminated. Why don't everybody who gets eliminated just stay in the ring and just start eliminating people because they mad that they didn't win? So when it comes to making people feel like they're looking stupid, sometimes what the good guy do always seems stupid at first because it's not the easiest route to take. And
yeah, that's true. Darrell, let me stop you right there. I think that's kind of a different point. I've never liked the idea that you can get eliminated from a match and then from a battle royal or a Royal Rumble and then come back and throw somebody out because you're out of the match. You're not participating anymore. You're not eligible to participate. So it's just a basic sports thing that I think is I don't like that. Let's go back. We'll go back to Dan in Missouri if his line holds up. Dan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Bruce. I'll tell you what, I'll make my comments, and then if you can come back to me, maybe I'll still be here. There's just not much cell towers going out here. One, I kind of want to hear, and I don't know if he's been listening at all, Rich's opinion of Don Callis and the job he's doing. But what I was going to lead to was the discussion you guys had on George Animal Steel with Wade. I really enjoyed that because I don't want to speak ill of the dead, and he was very good at his job, but I hated that character, and that was the type of wrestling that I just really kind of found insulting when people would say, oh, that's what you like. And, you know, it was the epitome of that Saturday Night's Main Event silliness, food fight nonsense that I never cared for. He was good at the role, but, you know, it bothered me Monday night, and I knew they were going to give him much more attention than Ivan Koloff, who was a bigger character in the history of WWE. And I'm just glad you called it like it was, because most people I heard talk about it, again, good man by all accounts, not trying to be rude, but not my cup of tea for wrestling. And I can hear myself cutting out, so I'll stop there.
Okay. Rich, have you had a chance to hear Don Callis calling New Japan Pro Wrestling?
I have, and I also heard him, you know, back in the day with ECW. I'm a big fan of his. I think he does a really good job. As I mentioned before, when Dan had asked, I typically listen to the Japanese feed, and then if I'm rewatching a match, I'll watch it in English. And that's just years of, it's not, you know, I'm not putting on airs or anything like that. You know, the most Japanese I know is One Fall, Ippon Shibu Raimas, and the different color corners, and that's it. But it's just, you know, the thing. I really enjoy
that. You get used to it faster than you would think. I mean, I'm the same way. Watching Japanese matches, you know, it just doesn't take long. It's, you know, if the emotions and the voice and the cadence and everything and the wrestling's, you can figure it out. And if they're really passionate about it, even if you don't understand the majority of what they're saying, you get the gist really, really quickly.
Yeah, and I think I love the fact, as much as, you know, you mentioned with Darrell, I'm a big fan of the Internet now I'm a big fan of Twitter in particular because I have a number of people who the gentleman Chris, I can't remember his last name right now, but he translates in real time the Japanese commentary. And it's been a delight as far as adding to my New Japan experience. And hearing, you know, the post-match commentary and reading it and reading the basically his version of subtitles and understanding what the guys are saying. I mean, like you said, context clues, you can kind of figure it out. But, you know, with a guy like Okada, every match he has three things he wants to say, and it's great to actually hear what they are. But Callis, he's phenomenal. I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big fan of his podcast with Lance Storm. I think even though he is a little bit, he's a big fan of using Mark, and we talked about that last week, and he claims it's a term of endearment to fans. I don't see it that way. I'm not being fooled into watching pro wrestling. I'm watching because I've watched for 20-some-odd years, and I really like it. And I get that that's a thing, that's a difference between someone who's done it and someone who's just been an observer, but it's just, you know, that's the only thing with Don I disagree with.
Yeah, I disagree with that too. But this Mark is always paired with a con man. So and I think both of those are derogatory terms. You're not being conned if you're getting your value for your money. And I don't like that. I don't like that separation. And yes, there's very much experiences that you can't understand unless you're a wrestler, and I haven't had any of those experiences. They're definitely experiences that, you know, that I have. This is how life is, but I don't like that. There's a kind of self-loathing to calling yourself a mark that I just don't like. And it's also the history of professional wrestling is tied up, and its origins is tied up in the carnivals and carny culture and all that. So it is an insult. You can pretend that it's not, or you can't change the meaning of the word, particularly when there's a perfectly acceptable word that you can use, and that's fan. Fan is fine. There's nothing derogatory about that. So, you use words for what they mean.
To your point about that, as far as experiences, I don't have a lot with, say, Bruiser Bedlam, but I knew about Bruiser Bedlam because when I was a college student here in Pittsburgh, I worked with a gentleman whose fiance had a lot of money and enjoyed bringing in wrestlers for PWX here in Pittsburgh. And so I got to meet and know Chris Hamrick. And because I'm pretty good with electronics, I helped Chris Hamrick send his application tape to All Japan. And while I was, because I had a double-decker VCR, which was, you know, the height of
technology. Oh, there you go, man. You are on top of technology. Yeah.
Yeah, so that bad boy, like all the wrestlers came to town that would do autograph signings or do the PWX matches. They would stop by my dorm and send me all these tapes, and I'd copy them and then mail them off to Japan. And he was really cool in that, you know, he would talk with me and my friends, and he also mentioned the fact that he would do this Hamrick bump. And he did it against Bedlam, and he did it against Owen Hart, where he would do a flat back bump between the second and third rope after they would, you know, he'd bounce off the ropes, and they'd trip him, but he would oversell it to the point where he's going through the second and third rope.
Man, I haven't thought about that
floor.
In a long time. I remember that. Yeah, okay, yeah.
And
Jesus.
So his highlight tape that he wanted me to make for him had a solid minute of him doing this over and over. And I saw it, and, you know, obviously back then you couldn't just go away. You had to pay attention to do it right. I'm just in shock that this man is doing this thing over and over and over and over. And then, you know, I asked him about it. He's like, well, you know, as bad as that was, it wasn't as bad as, and then he started telling me the story of when Bruiser Bedlam blew up the police station?
Yes. He tried to.
And I was like, wait, you know a guy who did what? And that, you know, so when they bring out stuff like Mark, most of the guys I met, like I met him, I met Nova, Chris Chetty, Jerry Lynn, they were all very kind and they were all very respectful. And even to this day, whenever I see Nova at indie shows, we'll share a hug and have a chat. And it isn't something where it's like, oh, look at this. I suckered this guy 20 years ago by giving him tickets to ECW shows and treating him like a human being. So I really showed the business what's for. When Don says that, I'm kind of like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. Yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah. Like, then I'm older, and so I do remember the days of just the complete, you know, they worked really hard at their craft and making money, and it's very much very businesslike and trying to draw money and have these large and life characters. But there was a contempt there too, and I've seen that part, and it's like I went to PWX here in North Carolina. Premier Wrestling Experience show in Concord on Sunday, and I wrote about it for the Torch. And the amount of professionalism now in professional wrestling, and sometimes it takes away from that outlaw character deal, that I very much want to see. But the amount of professionalism and how people carry themselves with each other and with fans and with journalists and all that, I'm very impressed by, and I think it makes for a better show in the end. If they've taken that professionalism to how they run their show and how they do what it is. But yeah, that Mark, I understand it, because I'm sure that, you know, Lord knows, Rich, you know, we have our little window into this world, but as a full-time professional wrestler, you're not just dealing with callers to our show and VIP members and that the people we deal with on Twitter who are way cool and for the vast majority and intelligent, all that. You're dealing with some, you probably have some experiences where it's not hard to have, you know, it's not hard. If you're not careful, you'll develop that contempt. Using the word Mark will help you do it, I think, so to call other people. So we're going to go to a commercial message. We'll be right back with more callers.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
Do you love wrestling? Check out one of the hottest shows, Ring Rust Radio, breaking down WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, NXT, Lucha Underground, TNA, New Japan, and Indie Wrestling. The boys of Ring Rust Radio also interview some of the biggest names in wrestling, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, AJ Styles, John Cena, Roman Reigns, and many more. If you love the PW Torch Livecast and you like to have fun, check out Ring Rust Radio. Find us on ringrustradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at ringrustradio and email the show, ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Mark in Ontario. Mark, welcome to PW Torch Livecast. Let's try it another way. Let's go to 615. If you're 615, you're on PW Torch Livecast.
Hello, Bruce.
Yes.
Hey, this is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee.
Wow, I'm so far off. You couldn't be any farther off. Apologize for that. Nice to hear from you, Kenny.
Hey, nice to hear from you, Bruce. I just want to, before I get started, I want you to give a good shout out to Wade. He kind of helped me out with earlier today with a issue as far as downloading the VIP audio podcast. So I'm looking forward to your conversation with Wade that you had today.
Yeah, I am too. I do want to say, since I'm not part of this side of the PW Torch, I have definitely witnessed it in action. Wade and Nancy are very serious about customer service and about getting people set up and for things to work right and helping them hands-on. So glad to get that opportunity to just point that out. And that's just me seeing it a lot of times. And then also just, you know, sometimes someone will come to me and say, I'm having a problem with this, and I'll reach out and it gets taken care of. I think that's really important. So I'm glad you had a good experience.
Yeah, I did too. I got a couple of questions. The first one I want to talk about a little bit about Ring of Honor. And something that I've been thinking about, you know, Chris Daniels is going to have a match with Adam Cole, I think, on the 15th anniversary show, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
Yes, and I was thinking about, you know, I looked at his statistics as far as what he has done over his career, not just in Ring of Honor, but also in TNA as well. And it's one of the things that's really shocking, you know, and he's wrestled in Japan. You know, he had great stints in WWE and WCW. This is a guy that in all his time has really never won a world championship in a major promotion and really hardly had any world title matches, to my knowledge. And one of the things that I was thinking in the back of my head was, number one, do you see him or did you ever really see him as world championship material? And also, would you consider him, as far as wrestlers today, as one of the best pro wrestlers to never be a world champion for a major promotion?
Yeah, I take a kind of different look at that as far as I think of it more in terms of main eventing and more in terms of being at the top of the card, making main event money for whatever promotion that you work for. And Christopher Daniels is a very good wrestler and a very good talker and has you know, with Curry Man and some other you know, played a variety of characters and been a very useful guy to have on shows for a lot of major companies, and but I've never thought of him at, you know, headlining that show. I think there's a story there, and he started to tell it recently, talking about his own life and getting to the end of his career, some promos that he's done that are really good promos and really a little too close to the bone, I think, sometimes. But, I think that as far as there are top wrestlers, like very top wrestlers in main events who don't need or maybe shouldn't carry the world title. And so I don't look at it like that. It's more like who fits in the world championship, and of course at the top of the card, as a challenger, as a champion, to make the most money. And I think part of it, and I think that when you treat the world title like the "you deserve it" part, like it's something that if you're a veteran, a respected veteran who's been effective and good, then you should have a run with the world title just so you can say you had a run with the world title. I don't subscribe to that. I subscribe to you should get put in a place to make the most money as you possibly can to live your life and support your family, because that's what the manipulation of all this is about. Rich, you have any thoughts on Christopher Daniels and what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. I was a big fan of his when I would watch those tapes of Monday Night Raw, and he would get the 5-10 minute match where they were kind of going to bring him in, kind of weren't, and then he disappeared for a few years. Throughout his career, I've been a big fan of Chris Daniels. I thought he was a hilarious part of Japanese wrestling as Curry Man, and when TNA was something I would watch regularly, he definitely was a big reason. And his current resurgence of Ring of Honor with Frankie the Future Kazarian, I guess now he's not the future, I guess you've got to call him the present. I really like their whole ring general.
Yeah, but you know what? Ric Flair turns 68 tomorrow. He's still the Nature Boy. He's not the Nature Man. I mean, you know, part
nature
of it is how
man.
The Nature Man. He should be the Nature Man by now, don't you think? I mean, so
yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I really, and you took the words out of my wife's mouth when it came to the if there were anyone, if that godforsaken chant hadn't been created, he would be a candidate for someone to say you deserve it in terms of giving him an opportunity. But at age 45. I anticipate he might be a transitional champion, mainly because they don't know if Adam Cole's going to come back. They're already in the same situation with Kyle O'Reilly. Will he or won't he, as far as WWE or Japan or TNA or wherever else he's thinking of going? So he might get it to be that guy that finally grabbed the, I don't know, the cobalt ring or whatever color you want to call it in Ring Honor, and then someone else gets to use the heat of stealing that moment from them. But in terms of being the day-in, day-out champion of Ring of Honor, I think that time should have passed.
Yeah, I definitely think I agree with that. But as far as, like, someone I respect that's a very good wrestler and a very good act, he's right there. He's you know, been successful and all that stuff. Also, he writes letters to comic books, and they get published. So I like that. That's not a bad thing to not a bad thing to do. Let's go to, I believe this is our friend Boris in Chicago. Boris, welcome to the Torch Livecast.
Hey. Yes, this is Boris from Chicago. I got New Japan in the background. I'm catching up. And I was just thinking,
oh, don't
how
show off now.
No, I'm
show
not.
Show off.
Not.
Just ask the question. You should be watching
good.
Something in the background. Your primary focus should be the PW Torch Livecast.
I was just thinking, my first question is the junior heavyweight kind of like, is that the same as the cruiserweight over here in WWE? Would that be considered the same weight class?
Yes, but it's 220 instead of 205.
Yeah, New Japan's junior heavyweights are where everyone got that idea. There's just an idea in the United States, despite boxing using junior in a lot of weight divisions, that junior was somehow, and it was also part of this was NWA junior heavyweight champion Denny Brown, and the way junior heavyweight championships were used in the early 80s to the mid 80s, and all through the 80s, I guess, where it was sort of a jobber title. It was sort of an enhancement guy would hold it, and maybe he would be in an early match to defend it, maybe not. So they wanted to take the stigma of junior, you know, look at Rich Van's father, what he thought about junior. So they want to take that stigma away of junior,
right.
And they came up with cruiserweight, and they got that from boxing. So it's the same thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's treated a lot better in New Japan than the belt that's over here. And because I'm noticing...
Well, they're the ones that invented
more about
it. I mean, you know, so...
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing, with us talking more about how the cruiserweight is treated over here, basically the smaller guys in New Japan still get to go up against the heavyweight, so to speak, and really put on a good show. And right now, another question is, what do you think about Shibata and Will Ospreay having a little something going on? And how y'all like that? If
Rich,
you guys got a chance to see that.
Yes, I did. And, one, to your point with the junior heavyweights, you're absolutely right when it comes to singles action, but I am a big proponent of an open weight with the tag team division, because every single New Japan match, in terms of big shows, opens with a 3 or 4-way tag team junior heavyweight title match. And it's either the Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice, or the Young Bucks, Roppongi Vice, and then when they were there, Red Dragon, et cetera, et cetera. So that, in that case, the heavyweight and the junior heavyweight divisions are kind of just there. But in terms of the wrestlers themselves, yes, absolutely. And that actually, really quick, the match they just had with the junior heavyweights between Kamitachi and Dragon Lee is why I absolutely loved the Nikki Bella Natalya match on SmackDown, because those two hate each other. Both cases, but in the case of Kamitachi and Dragon Lee, they've wrestled like 13 times in the last 15 months, and the very first time they wrestled, they locked up. Every single time since, they've gone balls to the wall, punching each other in the face, kicking in the throat, moonsaults, whatever, and at no point did you think this was a wrestling match, but it was two dudes throwing their bodies at each other because they hate each other. So I like that. And then to convert that over to Shibata and Ospreay, you have a guy who does all of the flippy stuff as a junior heavyweight versus a man who basically is an MMA pro wrestler.
Beat the crap out of the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong stuff.
And
yeah.
I like styles. I always like it when styles are mixing, because that becomes a fun fight.
Yeah, I haven't seen that match. I've heard a lot about it. Yeah, and I like Shibata a lot. Will Ospreay, I have mixed feelings about, because I think he's really talented, really athletic, but I also think I don't want to see guys turn into Dynamite Kid. And I saw, speaking of, you know, New Japan New Japan Junior Heavyweights and Dynamite Kid, and you know, being the pioneer there with Tiger Mask and Black Tiger and Bret Hart and in the early 80s. I don't like that he doesn't hold back. I think I don't know he's going to make his money before he destroys his body. That's always my reaction when I'm watching him. But he's very good, and you know, if you look at, you know, if you just look at the match for what it is, it's you know, he's pushing the boundaries of the art form, and it works. It's over and all that good stuff. So that's definitely, you know, anyway, that's definitely a part of it. Okay, let's tell you what. Let's go to one more commercial break, and we'll be right back with some more calls.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
Now, if you want to go to pwtorch/Amazon and buy me something and send it to me, that way you put money in the tip jar for me, and then you also, I get something from Amazon. So if you want to do that, but buy me something I'd like. Don't buy me something that I wouldn't like. I'm not a fan of that. Rich?
Absolutely.
You think that's
fair? In fact, I think that's fair. I actually sent a tweet to Wade this week because I used the Amazon click-through to order WWE's new book, which will list all of their rules and regulations with a foreword by Daniel Bryan.
Oh, God. I am so dreading that. I so don't want to be
asked
about that.
I'm so excited.
All that crap. No, oh, Lord, please. I, you know what, though? I kind of thought, here's the book I'd like to read from WWE is The Announcer's Guide. Like,
oh boy.
Like which words you can't use, which words you can, what the and then what those phrases actually are supposed to mean, and you know, coaching them up and all that. That I'd read. That I think would be really enjoyable. I so don't want to hear about this rule book. Oh my, you know, like getting parsing that page by page is going to drive me crazy when that day comes. But yeah, good for you that you ordered it early. That's you're ahead of the game. I just groaned when I heard that. It's like, and why don't they in the rule book? It's we're going to get these calls too and these tweets. In the rule book that they put out, it says that over the top rope is a disqualification. But when Neville flew over the top rope, they didn't disqualify him. What about that? Yeah, okay. That, I mean, that's going to be, you know.
That's the part I'm looking forward to, because I am an unabashed seeker of information when it comes to anything. I mean, whether it's fandom or in life, that's why I really like my undergrad and grad school experiences. So when it comes to this stuff, I am probably, just like when I did the thing for Wade when I kept track of all of Roman's moves, I'm probably going to make a little...
Oh,
like,
you were the guy. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I forgot that. Yeah. Oh, holy smoke. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to probably just write this long missive on the rules and what they observe versus what they actually are just ignoring completely. So, that's going to be fun. Because
right.
Those rules. Because the first thing I thought of with this Battle Royal was the fact that Hogan had the same thing happen in the 92 Rumble.
Yeah, but that's different. Ric Flair won. With a tear in his eye. All right, let's travel the world. Let's go to Jason from Australia. Jason, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
This isn't Jason from Australia. This is Craig from Toledo.
Oh, well, that's pretty close. I'm looking at, yeah, you must be calling by Skype. Right? All right, cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The Ontario and Tennessee thing.
Yes.
Oh, you kind of just stole my thunder. I was going to ask about the closed fist rule. You know, Daniel Bryan seemed rather concerned about that on Talking Smack the other night.
You know, he's got to think of something.
Oh, yeah, the look on his face when they asked about the closed fists. I was very entertained by that.
Oh, I was calling in to ask. Recently, in the past year or so, Cody Rhodes is one, and I think Taz this week had a lot to say about the vernacular and the words that are used, like Mark, Jobber, putting over, things like that that wrestlers use. I was wondering where the genesis of these words and phrases, were those originally words used by wrestlers, or was it used by, like, kind of got like John Rezzi, Wade Keller, and guys like that who've covered the business, use those originally, and then wrestlers started using it. And I just wanted to know where the words came from and who
okay.
you know, started using these kind of words.
Yeah, it was words. Wrestling came out of the carnivals of the early 1900s, and some of it before, but this culture of wrestling, putting on a show, working matches to win money, working matches to set up someone to take a big fall and losing a big jackpot, having cutouts in the audience, having stooges, having even just ringers and all that. It's part of the carnival culture. It's part of the con man culture. And I highly recommend, if you're a wrestling fan and you're serious, there's not a lot about wrestling in this book, but I highly recommend a book called The Big Con. There's been a lot of copies in the last 10 years I've seen, so it's easy to find. I'm trying to think of, I want to say Jean-Luc something, but anyway, I'm not looking it up at this moment, but it goes into the issues of these of the language here. And Wade and other journalists, John Arezzi and other journalists, certainly didn't come up with these terms. They use them because they're part of wrestling. And it was also, there was a language when wrestling was, when wrestlers did not want to share their business and have people eavesdrop or overhear them talking about faking matches. To be blunt about it, they use carnival language. They use kayfabe language, Kazarni, to talk to each other. And Mark literally in this language is a victim of a con. In other words, someone you rip off, someone you fool. And in con man language, that's bigger than professional wrestling, that's what they call their victims, the mark. And you know, you have a mark and you mark him, and they literally would mark people, go and mark them on their shoulder, and you know, likely candidates that they felt like they could, you know, steal their wallet or get them to, you know, get them to send money to Nigeria, whatever, all the different kinds of cons there are around the world, including in the technology age. I mean, that's part of, you know, this is a house that's an easy mark for going in and pretending that you that your car broke down and you need some money to get to the next town, that kind of thing. There's a whole lot of it, and it's really interesting. It's really fascinating, and it helps you to understand professional wrestling, at least its origins. And that's where a lot going over was, you know, doing a job. In other words, you came to town to do the job to make someone else look better in the ring, and that was where that idea was. The language of professional wrestling is really interesting, but it's from the wrestlers themselves. And I'm kind of I heard my friend Britt Whitmire on Katie Vick is Alive, and I kind of gave him a hard time about it. Go, I am such a mark for James L. Brooks, the Hollywood producer who did Broadcast News and a million great sitcoms, and I just went, you know, fan is a perfectly acceptable word. Stop trying to talk like a wrestler all the time. I mean, it's, you know, so I have some respect for the wrestlers. Have their own industry jargon, like most industries have, and I think sometimes it gets taken over when there's other ways of clearly and simply saying things. But yeah, The Big Con, Luke Sante just hit my head. I can't recommend a book. If you're interested in how this language came to be, very much, that's the book. And it's highly critically acclaimed. Rich, you want to add to this?
I would say I agree completely. I just actually shared on Twitter, if our listeners on Twitter, I shared the Amazon link of the book. It's $378 on there with a Torch link through, so that's like double bonus there.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a big,
seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
I'm a big fan of language.
I've seen it,
I like that.
On remainder shelves and in hardback. You know, so I'm not surprised you couldn't find it on Amazon for pretty cheap, $378. That's a bargain. It's a good book, and I recommended it. Dave Meltzer has a copy of it. There's a lot of people I've recommended to over the years that have really liked it.
Yeah, it seems really good. I'm actually going to purchase it as soon as I get off of here, or at least see if my wife can do it because I know she has credit on that Amazon account. But yeah, I am a big fan of language in anything I do. When I was in grad school, my one mentor would say, you know, all of the things you're speaking, you just have to speak to your constituency. So if you're talking to Army, Navy, Air Force, you're talking tank, you're talking gun, you're talking jet, and they just understand it. With wrestlers, they're talking con because, like you said, the historical leanings of where they come from and how people still want to harken back to those days. And it's like, to be honest, it's like any other sport where now it's had this attitude of because of the internet. Back in my day, we were allowed to do things that now you guys see, and I don't really appreciate that. And I'm sure you and Wade and Dave Meltzer and whomever else have been journalists for as long as you have in pro wrestling have heard the other adage of, if you haven't been in my boots, how can you report on this and all that other silliness? And sure, there's some validity to, if you haven't called a 30-minute five-star match, you can't tell me the difficulties inherent therein. But just like all of us, we started as fans, and I know what my eyes tell me is a good match and what isn't.
Right, and the whole job is to connect to fans. So sitting out in the audience, I can tell that I can figure out that side of it. And yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it'd be really rude and arrogant to write, this is how you call a match. You know, this is how you call a match, because I have not been in that ring. There's certain parts that I will not do because I have a respect for that, and I respect for the people that get in the ring and do that. I don't think it's right to be a dilettante at all. Yeah, and I'm one of the reasons why I am a big wrestling fan and a student of wrestling, and it's good and it's bad, is because of the language. I think promos, in a different sense, was what caught my eye, caught my ear, watching professional wrestling, and I think that there's a lot of people that are like that like the promos and how they used language to excite you, how they use language subtly and not so subtly to make you hate somebody and make you like somebody, and how that psychology is used out in the world too. So, I think one of the most interesting things in professional wrestling is in that culture is the language, and I don't like it bastardized or I don't like it watered down. So I trying to figure out what things mean and trying to figure out the history as this jargon has evolved has been pretty cool. Appreciate the call. Appreciate my friends who called in and I called you by the wrong name. Appreciate the ones I did and our regular callers and our new callers. Please keep it up, Rich. You were encouraging people on Twitter to do that, and that was a good deal. Bruce Mitchell Audio Show should be up momentarily if you're listening live. If you downloaded this and haven't listed yet your VIP member, we encourage everybody to become a VIP member. We'll have details on how to do that in just a second. But Rich, have a good weekend. And Pitt play Carolina tomorrow?
I believe they do, number 8 in the nation.
Yeah. Yes. Do me a favor. Do your
yes.
No, I take that back. Do your family a favor and see if you can. You two should be together on this one, the husband and wife on this one. So, two bank three-pointers. I mean, we deserve to lose that game. Duke deserved to lose that game at Syracuse. They weren't sharp, but good grief. It's like,
yeah, that was painful.
What can you do? I mean, just throw your hands up. I mean, it was like, holy smoke. And but it was really exciting, except for being on the wrong end of it. So thanks, everybody, for listening to PW Torch Livecast, and we will see you. You'll hear from us next Friday. And Oh, actually, Rich, I need to talk to you about that. But we'll hear from us next Friday and, of course, every other day on PW Torch Livecast.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Do you love wrestling? Come see the first ever live Ring Rust Radio from Orlando, Florida on Saturday, April 1st from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be doing Q&A sessions, meet and greets, raffle giveaways, and so much more. If you wish to attend the live show, sign up on patreon.com/ringrustradio or send $10 per ticket to ringrustradio@gmail.com on PayPal, with Ring Rust Radio in the notes section to guarantee it your entry into the live show. We've also opened up a raffle to win a ticket to join the boys of Ring Rust Radio at NXT TakeOver Orlando, right next to the stage. For every $10, you'll receive one raffle entry into our NXT sweepstakes. You can sign up on Patreon or send the money to ringrustradio@gmail.com on PayPal with NXT in the notes section. This raffle will run until March 1st, so we can give the winner enough time to make travel accommodations. So be sure to enter it as soon as possible. Email ringrustradio@yahoo.com with any further questions.